And welcome back. It is a good day here at KCUR with our very successful drive for a new transmitter. Thank you all for your support of what we do here. For 18 years, Randy Wistoff has been the CEO of the Kansas City Zoo. Now he's announced that he's going to step down at the end of this year, and he'll transition to a part-time gig as the executive director of the Kansas City Zoo Foundation. So what led to this move, and what about his tenure made it so notable? Joining us now to look back on his time running the show over at the zoo is Randy Wistoff, the CEO, the outgoing CEO of the Kansas City Zoo. Randy, welcome back, and I think we had you on when you first started the job, and here you are at the end of it.
You haven't aged.
Yeah. Not a bit, right?
Not a bit.
The same guy you looked at so many years ago.
That's right, 18 years ago.
Well, congratulations on your big step here.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, great deal. So what led to this, you know, transition? You've been at the helm for almost two decades. Why leave now, Randy?
Pretty much just age. You know, as I get older, I turned 72 this year.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
And I've been doing this zoo stuff for 44 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just time to slow down a bit. It's just the complexity of running a zoo is unbelievable.
Well, why is it so complex?
Just everything involved. First of all, 2,000 animals,
mm-hmm.
and nearly a million visitors, 250 full-time staff.
That's a lot of critters you got to keep track of.
Yeah. Two-legged, four-legged,
yeah.
No-legged.
The whole kind.
All
yeah.
kinds. It's just a lot. Just so much goes into it. It just needs every bit of energy you have every day. And it's just time to slow down a bit and take more time for myself and my wife and not, I don't want to work until I'm unable. I got to mm-hmm. be carried out.
Mm-hmm.
Or the board comes in. I've seen too many of my contemporaries. The board comes in and says, hey, you know what? It's time. So I've been working with the board for the last 5 years on planning this. So mm-hmm. I've looked out and kind of driven into this other role, this part-time role, because of where we're at with the aquarium. We thought we'd be done now and that it would be behind us.
Tell us about the aquarium and where you are and what you want to see happen with yeah. that.
Well, it's a dream we've had for a long time, really launched this in February of 2014. A major donor and I had lunch and had a discussion and sort of headed this way. It was always a dream of mine, but I really didn't think we'd ever be able to bring that scope of exhibit here in my lifetime just because of the shape the zoo was in when I got mm-hmm. here. But the aquarium is going to be comparable in size to the one we built up in Omaha when I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, major aquarium.
How big?
600,000 square feet, almost between 600,000 and 700,000 gallons of water.
How big? Translate that for me. How big of a space would that translate to?
It's a multi-dimensional building. It's got six different exhibit zones featuring different areas of the ocean. It's a major exhibit. One big tank. You've always got to have the big shark tank that's got other animals. Everybody expects that.
Yeah.
But then the devil's in the detail on the other species you pick, the story you tell, and just the importance of the ocean. You can't get farther from the ocean than being in Kansas City. And then bringing it to the zoo, now that we've got our tax district, the opportunity for every little kid, especially in Jackson and Clay County, can come and visit the ocean for free,
mm-hmm.
many opportunities a year, discounted school programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drove it. It's basically for the kids.
So
for the kids of Kansas City.
So what will it look like? You have different places, different kinds of animals, one building. Is that what we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, it's one building. It's mm-hmm. it's just outside the back door, down the hill a bit from the penguin exit as
okay.
you come down the hill before you walk over to the elephant exhibit. It sits in that valley. Originally, we were going to put the polar bear exhibit there in 2010. Because of drainage issues and what it was going to cost to fix that, we passed on doing that with the polar bear, but we knew we had to do it with if we put something major down there. But it's a building there'll be a big outdoor plaza area
mm-hmm.
that, and you know, as a 501c3, we're always looking at revenue generating opportunities also. So the outdoor plaza will be established so people can wait and lounge around before they go in the building. It will also be appropriate for an outdoor cocktail party at night
mm-hmm.
For 250, 300 people. You enter the building, it's going to have a really grand entrance with a major crash tank, a big wave tank with a glass entry. And as you enter, you'll be blown away by big waves that are hitting a coastal California. So it's a magnificent entrance. It sets the stage as you travel around the building. There's numerous exhibits. I believe all in, there's 35 or between 35 and 40 different tanks.
Wow.
The biggest is obviously the shark tank. We're going to have octopus, some things that just people expect, want to see, big Japanese king crabs, a lot of jellyfish, a lot of small fish, mangrove swamp with actually a toucan and a tamarin in exhibits that are next to that. We'll have cuttlefish. We've got two touch tanks, a cold and a warm, that people love those. You'll be able to touch and experience animals from colder waters and warmer waters. And then at the end of the exhibit, we're going to have a big sea otter exhibit. Everybody loves otters, and we've worked with the Monterey Bay Aquarium to become a rehabilitation center for sea otters.
Mm-hmm.
So major exhibit.
When can Kansas Cityans see this? When will it be done?
Expected delivery date will be mid-2023.
Mm-hmm. So we got a couple years to go.
Yeah, a couple years to go. It is such a complex. We're still designing, finishing up the design, and we've been working on the design for probably 2 years now.
What's the price tag of something like this?
The construction budget is $60 million, and then the design and soft cost is another $15 million. So all in, $75 million price tag on it. So it is a major exhibit. We're going to be using some of the tax district money, and then we've been out raising private funds. All in, when everything's done, we'll probably have about a 50-50 split on public money and private money.
I know we have other aquariums in town, but this will be the biggest by far, I would guess, right?
This will, and we're not building this to compete with Sea Life. It's a great aquarium.
The one at Crown Center.
It's a smaller aquarium. It was built in conjunction with Legoland. Its primary focus is for little kids. And we have no intention of doing any harm to what they have for visitors. Hopefully we can enhance it if people come and see it and they want to take their kids to something that's a little smaller, a little more, more for little kids. They can go down and visit Sea Life and go down and see Legoland.
Yeah. So once you get this done in the Randy Wistoff vision for the zoo, where does this take you? Is this sort of it, or do you got other things you got to get done?
You ask a zoo guy.
Yeah. What else do you want?
A zoo is never done, and you just have things to fix up and then things to add. All the success at Omaha during my tenure there was based on having those destination buildings, the big jungle, the big aquarium, and the big desert dome.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to start with that sort of a destination exhibit light when we did penguins, but that's not really an exhibit you can go in and spend 45 minutes to an hour. This sets the stage as the big sort of anchor in the ground for the first major exhibit, indoor climate controlled exhibit in the zoo. Down the road, there will need to be a couple of more that hopefully drive attendance, public interest, provide education.
You'd want what? What are you talking about?
Well, at this point, that's not my vision. It will be up to my successors. But it's animals that are interesting that people want to see that can tell a story. We need more primates. A lot of people ask for small cats, so more birds. So there's always a thing we can do. It just depends on what is chosen at that time, what the price tag is, what it's going to take to raise the money to do it.
Randy Wistoff is my guest. He's the outgoing CEO of the Kansas City Zoo. So the zoo that you leave behind certainly isn't the zoo that you took over back in the day. How is it different?
It's
come a long way.
It's come a long way. I think, Steve, what I inherited was a zoo that had just been turned over to operation to Friends of the Zoo. The city had operated the zoo for over 90 years, a major transition from going from a public run and operated zoo to a private 501c3 that operates it, because you just have to do it more efficiently and really answer what the needs of the public are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the exhibits are different, the cleanliness is different, the visitor satisfaction is different. We've made improvements. It's kid-friendly, family-friendly, easy to get around, and the animals that people want to see.
There's always been the concern that the zoo is too big, too spread out, yeah. And that's been the challenge that you've taken on since day one, right?
It is, and we've tried to we put a lot of energy into trying to shrink the upper original 80 to 90 acres of the zoo in loading more of, we put most of the energy into that area by adding penguins, redoing tropics, adding the touch tank, rehabbing the orangutan exhibit. All the energy's up front. That has to expand now out to Africa to make a difference. But Steve, during the COVID, being too big became an asset for the zoo, and we have been extremely successful.
Tell me about attendance.
Attendance is down from what we're normally around 1 million people a year. Last year we finished 550,000 people, but 450 came in after we reopened during the pandemic, and we were the only, really the only thing in town to do, and families loved us for it. We operated safe. Going into this year, we budgeted about two-thirds of what we normally do. We budgeted for 650,000 people, not knowing what would happen with COVID. We're going to end up north of 700,000. We could end up around 800,000. Mm-hmm. So the zoo has been an extremely vital component for the community, a safe place to come.
Again, Randy Wistoff is my guest, the outgoing CEO of the Kansas City Zoo. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our number, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Why zoos for a career? Why animals? What drew you into that as a younger person?
I wish I really had a good answer. Yeah, I've always loved animals. I've been fascinated. My uncle had a farm, and I was always fascinated by it. The whole operation. And I, Steve, never set out to do this. The profession found me. I was ended up going to be a junior high science teacher.
Is that right?
Started working part-time at the Omaha Zoo in 77. And I haven't been smart enough to leave, it just has been so much fun. Every day I get paid to go to the zoo.
Yeah. Not bad.
There are a lot of headaches, but yeah. I get paid to go to the zoo.
What animals still fascinate you today after all these years?
Oh, the big time, real passion with elephants. I was an elephant keeper when I started at the zoo in Omaha, about my second job there. Been to Africa many times. And
you're comfortable around elephants.
Yeah, cautious and comfortable.
Cautious and comfortable.
Yeah, you really don't go in with them anymore. We used to share space with them when we were cleaning their cages, but they're a very dangerous animal.
Yeah,
but they're so smart. Just the living in the family setting that they do, how they manage their lives out in the wild, they're fascinating animals.
And you saw them in a way that the rest of us don't get to see them, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And then I get to go down the building, and they all have personalities. They have keepers that they like than others.
No
they
kidding.
They react to treats. Tamani, our male that we brought in, he absolutely is passionate about watermelons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How has the whole safety aspect of zoos changed? You just mentioned that you actually used to go into the dens with the zoos and care for them, but that doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. For the better, Steve. My gosh, when I was a keeper, I also worked with gorillas, orangutans. I would literally go in with the gorilla cage. I've been in with gorillas. I've been in with orangutans. I'm a pretty good monkey catcher. If you ever need a monkey catcher, I can catch monkeys.
What's the key to catching a monkey?
Be fast and don't get bit.
And they'll do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, as we moved along, the advent of medicine, veterinary medicine, and capture techniques, that you didn't have to go in with the animals to do everything.
Because that's a very unnatural thing for them, right? I mean,
some of them can get used to it, but they're still a wild animal. And mm-hmm. we try to keep them that way. We try not to make them our pets, because we want them to interact as normal in a social setting as they can with their cage mates. So we disrupt that, you're right, when we go in with them. But restraining an animal so they can do annual physicals, get vaccinations, all those sorts of things. We've got much better ways to do it now. Gorillas and orangs, for instance, they'll present their arms and allow us to draw blood. They'll allow us to give them their shots.
Because they understand what you're in there to do?
Yeah, well, they don't understand it, but we patiently train them to accept that behavior. They get positive reinforcement treats. The great apes, for instance, we've got a PVC sleeve that they'll put their arm down into. It's got a hole in it where we can inject, but it takes painstaking effort to get the animal to that point. Just the patience, and we want them to feel like that's normal. And so they get a treat, and over time, they will just do it. So everything we do is positive reinforcement. We use food. It's a great motivator for humans. Everything that breathes loves food, and animals love it. And the patience of our keeper staff is phenomenal, and their day-to-day work and patience with the animals.
So the whole idea of confining animals in a zoo, particularly one like the Kansas City Zoo, what kind of stress does that put on animals? Or do you think we're at a point now where there isn't a whole lot of that going on?
I think we've tried to really pay more attention to not only our keeper safety, animal safety, but our welfare. Welfare is a big word in our industry now, care and welfare, and making sure that the animals have everything they need. We sort of use Maslow's hierarchy for animals like we do for humans, and they've got to have all their needs met, shelter, food, proper temperatures, all those sorts of things. And then just tender, loving care and just patience and space. You talk about the zoo being too big. Well, their indoor facilities have to be adequate sized, and they have to be cared for. But long, long, long ago, when I started 44, almost 45 years ago,
right.
if an animal would die in a zoo, you could just call up. There were animal dealers. The Dutch had a number of animal dealers. You call one of them and say, hey, I need a new giraffe. And there were means to go to Africa and get them and bring them in, import animals. We rarely do that anymore. Everything is shared with zoos. Everything we do with breeding and mating is computerized. We've got an
Meaning
international...
If you need a giraffe, you can call the St. Louis Zoo or the Omaha Zoo and say, I need a giraffe.
Just about that easy. There's management groups. We know where all the animals are located, and it's all about genetics. So even though we know maybe St. Louis or Omaha has a giraffe of the same species that we have, it might not be a great genetic match. So we go to the computer experts, genetics experts, and we say, hey, we need to bring a young male in. And we've got one now in the wings that's coming in from a zoo on the East Coast. A young male probably will come in next spring for breeding purposes, but it's because it's the best genetic match.
How do you transport a giraffe?
Carefully.
Yes.
Yeah. And make sure the bridges are high.
I was just going to say, getting under a bridge would be tough, yeah. Right? You're taking my line. Yeah.
There are a number of individuals that have companies set up to transport animals, and there's a animal expert that hauls giraffes around the country. He's got a trailer that looks like a horse trailer that's much taller.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is you really try to get the animals shipped where they're going to end up before they get giraffes in giraffe case before they get too tall.
Mm-hmm.
That trailer has a ceiling on its top on it. It's climate controlled, air conditioned, heated. And so you don't want that giraffe to have to bend down for the entirety of his trip.
How much stress does it put on an animal to transport it across the country?
We don't think a whole lot because we train them to do that. We train them to go into crates. We train them in their buildings. They've got smaller stalls, chutes that we can put them in to get our hands on them. To giraffes, we've got kind of a squeeze chute we can put them in, get our hands on them. So it's a kind of a confined space. And then as they're being trucked across the country, they stop every couple hours and check them. Some animals we put cameras on as we're hauling them. As polar bears, we'll put a camera in the back of the trailer to make sure everything's fine.
In all your interactions with animals over the years, have you had a couple of moments when you thought, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time here?
One time early on.
What happened?
Oh, I was in with a female elephant in Omaha. And a good old gal, and Malaika was her name, but it was a smaller concrete enclosure, middle of winter, and up there the elephants, they had to go up a ramp to get on exhibit. So most of the winter they were pretty much indoors. And so we didn't have a whole lot of places to put them when we cleaned them, so we'd go in with them. And I found myself one day on the backside of Malaika, and all of a sudden I felt this sort of, I was closer to the wall than I intended. And she was kind of leaning on me, and I thought, I had that, oh, holy buckets moment.
Right.
And I got to move now.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of there, and I don't think she was going to do anything, but she was capable. If she really wanted to, I could have become wallpaper. And I knew that. I recognized that at the time. And that's the other thing you have to do as a zookeeper, make sure. But we just don't put ourselves in those situations anymore. That's not how we manage animals now.
You know, Randy, you're going to transition now to become the executive director of the Kansas City Zoo Foundation. What does that mean? What are you going to be doing in that new capacity?
Two primary things, Steve, is getting the aquarium done, completed, constructed. We really haven't started bringing walls up yet. We're still doing underground work and sort of the preliminary. So making sure that happens.
It's got to be really complicated stuff, the underground
stuff. Very, very, very. And then we're not even to the stage yet of ordering fish, getting fish, bringing fish in, acclimatizing them. So I'm going to be involved in that pretty heavily. And then for that exhibit, we've got about $5 million privately to raise. And then we've been challenged beyond when we get the construction money raised, we're going to jump into an endowment fundraising campaign for that building, about $10 million. So I'll be around for those two events.
To keep that the new aquarium well-funded and everything else going forward. Yeah. What else is on your to-do list in that position?
Probably help out with our, we've initiated a DEI program, and I want to be active in that. And then whatever I can do, I probably will hit the lunch circuit and out to every service club and anybody listen to talk about the aquarium and the excitement and build up that community's support as we near its completion.
So as families listen to this and listen to this conversation, what would you recommend they come out and see at the zoo that maybe they haven't seen for a while, something maybe that people are overlooking that's worth their time to check out?
Well, this season we brought in koalas, and we brought them in 2016, and we brought them back this year. We've gotten them from the San Diego Zoo. They're fascinating little creatures. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they only move about two times a day. So if you're going to come out and see them, come when the zoo opens at 9:30, or again about 3:00 in the afternoon. They sleep over 20 hours a day.
But I
think just
what
that,
a life.
What a life. Yeah. I look forward to that in retirement, maybe.
I
think just come out and take your time. Pick an area of the zoo you haven't walked in, and if you come more towards the morning, earlier hours, you get to see the animals moving about, just sit and watch.
Before it gets too hot, right?
Grab your coffee. And, you know, I do have people that have memberships that come out. We're open 362 days a year. I have people that actually come 362 days
a
year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Because every day is different. There is no day.
That's interesting.
There is no typical day in the zoo because every animal does something different every day.
Oh, that's great. Randy Wistoff, he's the outgoing CEO of the Kansas City Zoo. He's going to become the executive director of the Kansas City Zoo Foundation. Randy, it's always great to visit with you. Congratulations on the move.
I'll be back in 18 more years.
That sounds good. Let's do it.
See ya.
That's it for today. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll see you tomorrow.